Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Wait, I gotta take off my hoops.
I was born ready.
Why do you have to take off your hoops to record an episode?
They hurt in my headphones. Because I'm gonna fight you.
Oh, shoot. That was funny. Me. Maybe I'm gonna start doing vocal warm-ups at the start of every podcast. Shush.
That's not nobody goes
Yeah, they do. I was in choir, so I know. So
there's well, that. I'm the singer.
But I was in choir, so
guys, today's been rough.
I don't know what's going on about today specifically, but oh my gosh. I'm exhausted. I woke up exhausted.
Yeah, well, I did not sleep at all. And I know this because I laid there and thought about the most random things. And then I kept having to go to the bathroom. And then finally, I went to the bathroom and it was light outside. And I like cried for 20 seconds because I was like, dude, the night is over. What happened?
The night is done. It's morning and you're still awake.
Yeah, so I'm tired. But I like did my makeup. I got ready.
No, I'm really proud of you.
So just feel like, well,
yeah, I had a hard time last night too. I just could not fall asleep. I was watching Grey's Anatomy. If y'all don't know this and don't follow me on socials, first of all, stop what you're doing. Follow my Instagram account. We'll just go ahead and throw out Taryn as well.
Yeah.
Follow her.
We'll just go ahead and throw her out there.
I've never watched Grey's Anatomy, and TK, our roommate during quarantine, convinced me to watch it. And I've been watching it before bed almost every night. Pros and cons. Pro: it's like become something I look forward to every evening. Con: it like amps me up and I can't fall asleep.
Yeah, it is a pretty like intense.
It's a chill show, but at the very end of every show, it kind of leaves you on a little bit of something and it makes me want to watch the other one. So goodbye, beauty sleep. Hello, dark circles under my eyes.
Girl, the other day I stared at myself in the mirror for a while and I was like, are you okay? Do we need to have a talk?
Are you asking fine? Yourself this?
Are you good, girl?
So, what is going on with you?
So all this to say, this is just a disclaimer of you don't know what you're going to get in today's episode.
If we make no sense today, you can't hold it against us because we told you beforehand.
If we stop in 10 minutes and are just like, sorry, we have to go, you'll know. You will know. How are you doing, Ash?
I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there. I don't know I feel like we just talked about this, but I'm like having a weird day. Like I can't, my stomach was hurting earlier. It's hurting again now. I can't seem to wake up. We ordered Postmates and it took 2 hours before we realized it should have been here by now. So then we canceled it and had to order another Postmates. So that was,
We didn't cancel it. I contacted the Postmates.
Taryn called and complained. So
I got $5 credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, she did.
Who's
yeah,
really winning?
A positive note: we went and got tested for the COVID.
Yeah,
and all three of us are negative.
Yeah, but like, what does that really matter? Because that was as of 2.5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Do you know how many grocery stores I've had to go to or Postmates I've touched?
And that was something that was kind of a discussion between Alicia and I, because she was so dead set on getting tested. And I was like, okay, that's fine. But in my head, I kept thinking, this feels like a waste of money.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a waste of money. It
depends.
Like, if you feel like you're getting sick, maybe do it.
Well, and I think it is important to make sure, like, if you've been in contact with someone who has it, mm-hmm. to double check so you're not accidentally spreading it. So it is a responsible thing to do. But at the same time, it's like, you could be exposed at any minute. So I'm like, unless I have like a nightly test I can do.
There's no safe place. There's so no scary. Way of knowing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were excited to get that, even though I already knew I didn't have it.
I wasn't sure.
So
you never know. That. It was 4th of July, and I'm not going to lie, it was very depressing for me because I have always loved 4th of July.
Like, she's a big 4th of July fan.
The main holidays, like Christmas and Halloween and Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. a close second for me is 4th of July and Valentine's Day. Like, yeah. Love both of those days. Obsessed with fireworks. We always do like fun stuff as a family. So it was really weird for me to just be home, not doing anything. Like, yeah. And hear fireworks going off like crazy, but I couldn't see any. It just was weird. I was really sad.
Yeah, it was such a bummer of a holiday this year with everything going on COVID-wise, staying home. That was a bummer. LA specifically closed all the beaches, so that wasn't an option for us. Mm-hmm. Within these last, I would say, 3 weeks, everything with restrictions and quarantining and stuff like that got a lot stricter down here.
Yeah.
So it went from, we were feeling really hopeful for a second in June, and now all of a sudden we're down. Like, it feels like it's done, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it feels like we're starting back from the beginning again.
Yeah, it totally does.
So that's been a little bit of a bummer. And then on top of it, with everything political going on, it just felt hard to celebrate.
Yeah. It was weird. It was a weird one. I feel like every single day we're experiencing just like history. So
yeah,
it's just crazy.
Yeah. At this point, it feels like absolutely every week something incredible happens that we all have to take pause and just be like, whoa, this is a big deal. This is a huge thing. And it's going to be written in the history books.
Yeah.
And so it's overwhelming because it's just one thing after another, but it's so important to like educate yourself, learn everything, because they're all huge things that are happening in our lives.
Yeah, no, it's so true.
And then cherry on top, Kanye's running for president.
I honestly can't
thoughts
even
on that.
I can't even give my thoughts on that. I'm just like, what is actually happening?
I feel dumb because I was like, oh, well, that's not going to be for another 4 years.
Yeah.
The preliminaries already happened. I already put in for like who I wanted to like run for the presidential election. So I thought that was done and it wasn't an option this year. I was so wrong. Apparently he can run this year.
I don't know.
How is that an option? It blew my mind. So yeah, there's a lot going on politically, which is, you know, my mom said something very casually and it kind of like made me realize this has happened before with Reagan.
Oh,
he was an actor.
Oh, I don't, I'm honestly the worst person in the world to talk about anything with history
got
or
it.
Politics.
Got it.
I can't really comment too much, but that's crazy.
If you did not know, Ronald Reagan is the only president who was an actor beforehand, didn't have any kind of political background and ran for president. And a lot would argue he was one of the best presidents out there. So my mom wasn't saying, let's go vote for Kanye, but she was like, it's interesting though. This has happened before. And I was like, this has happened before. It's weird. But, you know,
just Kanye.
Just speechless. It would be the first time that the first lady had a sex tape.
Ew, I don't even want to.
Like, that's hard.
I don't even want
to. That's hard to think about that.
Yeah, the world is ending. There's videos of waves crashing over Newport Beach. And
I'm going
to
start writing a will.
Yeah. just I'm in leaving case. Everything just to Charlie. So
we don't know what this, my future is literally up in the air right now with this whole year. So I'm just like, you know what? Let's just be on the safe. Let's be prepared.
I guess. Let's be prepared. But you don't even like.
Who knows?
Prepared a year ago compared to prepared now.
There's so
like,
much.
Like no one included a disease. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just nuts.
This isn't World War Z.
Anywho, zombie apocalypse. You guys did not come here to hear about the crappiness going on in the world. You came here to escape and get into the minds of these two beauties. Which is us, Ash.
By these two, she means us.
I'm talking about us.
I know.
I have a tear in it up.
Oh, hit us with it.
Oh, I will. And I'm hoping, because honestly, the best part of this tearing it up is the photo attached with it.
Okay.
So right. I already emailed and asked permission to post it, but I don't know yet if we do have that permission. So.
Okay.
Hopefully. Still head to our Instagram because. Because
you better.
You never know. All right. This is titled Falling Walls and Curtain Calls.
Falling Walls and Curtain Calls. Okay.
She's great. Hey, Ashley and Terry, and before I tell my epic fail of a story, I just want to say how much I adore you both and love the podcast. I binged the whole thing during quarantine, and now I feel like you're my big sisters.
Oh, I love that. Oh, my heart.
I love it. Now for my favorite icebreaker story to tell at all parties. My junior year of high school, the theater department chose to do Shrek the Musical for the spring play. This shocked many and confused us all because we had little to no money for our theater program, and Shrek is an expensive show to pull off. Which, have you seen the musical?
I haven't seen the musical, but I've seen like pictures and stuff from production.
Lots of
and
costume,
wow.
Lots of props, because it's like all the fairy tale characters. So it's not just like, oh, put on a dress. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's like full on Disney character.
Yeah. Regardless, our teacher, persevered.
Persevered, Taryn.
Persevered, and the show went on. I decided to take a big step and audition for a solo. I was terrified of singing in front of basically anyone up until this point, and I figured we're doing Shrek. What do I possibly have to lose? I ended up getting a massive solo in one of the last songs, and I was so proud of myself. Opening night came, I hit the stage in my pink fairy costume and absolutely killed my solo. Congratulations.
Get it, girl.
That's the best feeling.
Get it, girl.
The adrenaline rush I had after killing my performance made me feel invincible and so excited for the rest of the show. Then came the nightmare, the horror, the legacy I would leave for generations of theater students at my high school. Remember how I mentioned earlier we had no money for the show? Well, one way tech was nifty was by reusing set pieces from previous shows, including two movable 8-foot walls. They held up for so many years. What could possibly go wrong? I feel like I'm doing a really good job reading. I just wanted to toot to my own horn. Okay.
There's a lot of stuttering before.
You know, it's fine. Relatable. It was the last song, and I was absolutely killing my jazz square in the back corner of the stage. Little did I know that two actors, one dressed as a chicken, the other as a priest, were horse-playing backstage directly behind one of the movable walls. More importantly, the same wall I was standing in front of.
Wait, I'm sorry. What were the characters again?
A chicken and a priest.
That's funny.
Chicken and a priest walked into a bar.
Yeah, that sounds like a joke.
Totally. Just as I belt out the words, what makes us strong, I felt the weight of an 8-foot wall on wheels crash on top of me.
Oh my God.
Yes, the whole wall fell on top of me in front of hundreds of people. The entire cast stopped, but the music went on. No one knew what to do. Shrek decided to keep the song going while my friend dressed as an elf. That got me. Helped drag my limp and shocked body from beneath the wall and guide me backstage. No one backstage knew what happened, but everyone in the audience saw. Because who could possibly miss a giant wall collapsing on top of a 5'2 blonde dressed like a fancy Nancy with wings?
A fancy Nancy. I know.
I was so mortified about the whole thing, even though it wasn't my fault. Stuff like this is so hard to bounce back from. Literally, the worst part of it was no one even remembered my solo, but only that I was the girl that almost died during Shrek the 100%, Musical. Yeah. But hey, there are worse things to be known for. I've attached a picture. Our photographer caught right after I crawled from beneath the wall. Enjoy. Oh, Ashley, you're literally gonna die.
Can you airdrop it to me?
I don't know.
I want to see it. I want to see it up close. Her face.
Do you see the little like bear guy in the back is like, whoa. It's just like, it's the perfect wrap up of the story. Guys, I will fight hard to get permission because this photo is just amazing.
You see her elf friend, you see the elf shoe like in the corner. Oh my God, guys.
And that looks like Pinocchio is just staring.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh man, if you ever have an opportunity to send a photo of your tearing it up, please do so, because that made it so much better. Oh my so God, good. Poor thing.
I know.
That's terrifying.
But also, that was amazing.
That's heavy. Like, I hope she's okay. Yeah. Like, on a serious note, I really hope you're okay.
Yeah. She ends with, hope I could make you guys laugh, which you did. Love you both the most. Love, Lydia.
Oh, Lydia.
So freaking good.
Babe, I'm so sorry. I hope you're okay, but wow.
That's rough, dude.
This honestly, her story was honestly the highlight of my day.
What's so sad is like, I know that you made that.
Today sucks.
Dude, today's weird. Even us starting recording, there was a few times where I was like, caught myself just staring at Charlie and forgetting where I was. And then I would be like, Ashley's talking.
Oh, shoot. Oh, it's my God. That's it's so been funny. Rough.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hello, everyone. It's Taryn
and Ashley
from Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and get into the story section. If you guys are new to our podcast, Taryn and I both show up to our podcast with two different stories that the other one has not heard before. And we share the stories and we give you guys our advice on it. So I'm going to go ahead and get into mine. And then Taryn's going to get into hers also. I usually save this for the end, but I feel like I should, I don't know, change it up and say it now. Oh. If you have a story that you would like to share, that's been on your heart or that you've just been thinking about, or you've been listening to our podcast for a while, or you binged it recently and you're like, hey, I could really share this situation. This is God telling you to share your story.
I love how you literally just referred to yourself as God.
I'm trying to, this is God's voice saying,
Ashley Nicole,
send us your story.
If we got struck by lightning right now, I would not be surprised.
I mean, it would make sense
today. Honestly, I'd be kind of fine with it too.
Okay, anyways, send us your stories. Let's get into mine. This one is titled Sentimental but Unhealthy Emotional Attachment to Material Objects.
Ooh.
I know. Usually we deal with a lot of relationship stuff, which is fine. And I dig the relationship drama. It's very interesting. But
yeah.
I was like, this is a nice like twist.
Yeah, a little twist.
Good. Twist. Okay. She begins. Hey, Taryn and Ashley.
Hi.
My name is Jenna. First, I just want to say how much I appreciate the podcast, which she put, ha ha ha, that's quite original of me, which is, I feel like all of you guys say the sweetest little compliments at the top of
every story.
And it goes straight to our egos. Yes. Okay. But seriously, your podcast has helped me feel more, quote, normal. If there even is such a thing, it's good to hear that others experience similar difficulties that I do. Now for the situation, in parentheses she put, hopefully it isn't too all over the place, which
nah,
I've read worse, I'm sure.
Yeah.
this is a sort of unconventional thing to ask for advice on, but I hope that it might be able to help someone else as well. I am 18 at the moment, and for as long as I can remember, I have been the tiniest bit of a hoarder.
Oh gosh, I can relate to that.
Yeah. Not to the extent of the TV show or anything, but it has definitely impacted my life at times. I'm not exactly sure why I'm wired this way, but I've always felt the need to take home crayons from restaurants as a kid and the brochures from school plays I went to see. I can never part ways with clothes or most objects, really, for that matter. Even seeing all of my unopened lotions and chapsticks I was given as gifts or my stack of unread books that I don't even have much interest in, I can't seem to let go of anything. I almost became emotionally possessive of things, but I really don't know why. I grew up in a family with enough money to support our needs and wants, so I can't see it having any connection there.
Yeah.
At this point, I've gotten a lot better about getting rid of things, but it's still a struggle for me. It makes me feel the slightest bit guilty as well, because I don't want to come off as an ungrateful person, but there are only so many things that I can have without feeling overwhelmed. I sometimes wonder if it's about the emotional attachment I have to memories with those things or the people they remind me of. However, even then, not every object has an overly special meaning behind it. I'm a middle child whose title is well suited. My Enneagram is a type 4 with almost as much of a type 2 in me as well. She attached her full chart, if we're curious, which is so generous of you. We'll give that a look in a bit.
If you want us to feel connected to you right away or that we understand you right away, mm-hmm. just send your number. Because yes. Immediately I'm like, oh, she artsy.
And then on top of it, she said, also, my Myers-Briggs personality is INFJ.
Oh, see, I'm not as like fluent in that. I'd have to like look
yeah.
of what that means.
We can totally dive into that in an episode if you guys want.
Yeah, I can't remember what I am.
Myers-Briggs is a great tool, I think, for you to look introspectively at yourself.
Yeah.
The Enneagram, I think, is great for to help you understand other people, if that makes sense.
Well, I think, too, like, Myers-Briggs, like, it communicates, like, what type of person and what type mm-hmm. of things you, strengths you have, things like that.
Yeah.
Whereas the Enneagram, it helps you to understand why you tend to be that way or what can come from, you know, like I have a lot of empathy. So like, how do I use that in like a positive and negative way
yeah.
to like relate to the world around me? So yeah, they both are like super valuable.
Yeah. So would love to dive into that sometime, but we continue. She said her Myers-Briggs number is INFJ. So basically, I'm a messy ball of emotion and overthinking. I'm not sure if this issue has come into play more so now that I have graduated during a pandemic and I'm supposed to move to Scotland for university, but whatever this is has to do with some emotional thing, I would assume. At university, I'll be studying psychology, although I already know a lot about it.
I guess my first case, I guess I will be my first case study. Ha ha ha. I'm crossing my fingers that Taryn's psychology knowledge will come into play if you pick my email. Either way, thanks for being you. Both of you lovely ladies inspire me to be unapologetically myself.
Oh my gosh.
Own
I love that.
My insecurities, face my fears, and be a better version of myself. Mm-hmm, girl. All the best, Jenna.
Wow. Jenna.
Yeah.
I actually feel very similar to that.
Yeah.
I read a book once, and I don't know if you can relate to this at all. You are saying that you are a 4 with a type 2 that leans to a type 2. I'm a 9. And when a book that I read once said that almost people like me, like people as a 9, people that struggle with some things that I struggle with, tend to have a box of random memorabilia that could come from any point in your life. A lot of childhood stuff, a lot of like things that you just can't get rid of. So part of me like really relates to this on a much deeper level. I don't think I have a lot of those things, but I do under my bed. I have 2 boxes of just anyone else would consider junk, I open it up and I feel like my child self every time I see it and I can't get rid of it. And the only thing I could put to that is that there's an emotional attachment there. The feeling of like happiness holding those things, or even just like the feeling it gives me, not an actual memory, but just the feeling that all of it together makes me feel.
Yeah.
I cannot get rid of it. And I have no idea why either, except that it just makes me feel good.
Yeah. I think everybody struggles with letting go of it. Well, not everyone. I know some friends that were savage and just would be like, I don't care. I'd be like, oh, you want to save this ticket? And they'd be like, no, why?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's all about finding a good balance. Like if you save stuff and you have the room and the means and the system for it, then it's like, I don't see a problem with it. Now, if you're like trying to maybe find, like for me, where I reached, because I was the same as a kid, like I could not throw away any stuffed animals. Like I couldn't get rid of any like art project I did. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. So if you're trying to find like a different process, then I think it's good to explore things like that. Like one of the things I would do is I had like a giant, I still do like a giant, those like Target boxes, you know?
Yeah.
That's full of like memory stuff. But I had in my closet, like a small box. And so what I would do is I would like, that was where I threw things in. Like I would throw in a movie ticket or a, you know, my Coachella wristband or like things like that. Right. Mm-hmm. And then when that would fill up, what I would do is I would sit and go through it and anything that I couldn't tie a memory to. So if I picked up like a green paper wristband that you could get at like any
literally
club
anywhere.
Yeah. If I picked it up and I was like, I have no idea what this is, then I would throw it away.
Yeah.
If there were things that I would see and it still would make me like feel special or be a memory, then I would save it. Another thing like my dad used to do is he had a bunch of like plaques and things from like years of like, or like awards, things like that. And so what he would do is he would take photos of things instead of keeping the actual thing. He would take photos and then created kind of like a scrapbook basically of stuff. And that was his way of remembering it without actually having to have the whole like things there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and it saves a lot of room too.
Yeah, so I think it's finding like a good tie to it. Now, if you're wanting to get rid of stuff, but you're feeling like you can't, that's where I see like being like, okay, well, let me look into like why this is happening. Because if you're not wanting to have this like emotional attachment to things like that, then I think that's where you can like look into different resources to kind of find a way to separate from that. Mm-hmm. But I think it all comes down to like you finding kind of like your own lines, your own guidelines of what is a good boundary to have. And then what is things where it's like, this isn't harming anyone and it's something I'm choosing to do. So
yeah,
it's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, I think coming
being at the age of 19, I think that's right on the cusp of when you start getting rid of stuff.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, Taryn, but in high school, it's so weird, just side note, that I didn't know you in high school.
I know.
Taryn is like my best friend and kind of my everything now. So it's weird, like thinking of life before you. I didn't know you then. So it's just weird. But so I don't know how this was for you, but high school for me, I still had a lot of like middle school, elementary school stuff in my room.
Yeah.
Until college, there was like a big shift in like how I decorated my room that came after high school, but that involved me like going through everything, getting rid of toys that had been in like my chest or my bookshelf for years that I just didn't pay attention to or notice were there. And, you know, it wasn't until college that I was like, oh, I should get rid of these things.
Yeah. And I think when you move too, you kind of come to this place where you're like, okay, do I really want to try to find a place for this? Or is this stuff like I need to just like let go of, you know? Yeah.
And I got into a solid routine because something that I always struggled with, I could get rid of toys as a kid. It wasn't that big of a deal. Clothes were the thing that I couldn't get rid of.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to be like, oh, well, maybe one day I'll need a little black dress.
Well, if I ever went to a costume party, this is very 70s.
I'll never wear these heels. Yeah. But if I needed them, then they're here.
Yeah,
and
so
that resulted in me having an obscene amount of shoes. I have nowhere to put them. I have them under my bed. I have them on the top of my closet, at the bottom of my closet. Mm-hmm. They're downstairs. Like they're just kind of everywhere because I have way too many because I can't get myself to throw them away.
That's
so hard. I mean, we all have things that we struggle with. Mine specifically is clothes. And I have started to every like 3 or 4 months or so, I'll just grab a trash bag.
Yeah.
And I won't make it a big deal, but I'll just really quickly like kind of glance through all my clothes and be like, if I haven't worn it in 6 months to a year, it depends on the article of clothing because, mm-hmm. you know, dresses and gowns are different than like your everyday t-shirt.
Yeah.
If I haven't worn it within that time frame, I'll try to think of like if there's something coming up for me to wear it to. Mm-hmm. And if it hasn't, then I need to throw it away. Mm-hmm. And that's me being harsh with myself because any other way I'd be like, oh, I can find somewhere to use this. Another cool thing is if you're feeling guilty in any way, donate it.
Yeah.
That's what I do. And I feel great because it's going to someone who could actually use it and will probably use it a lot more often than I will.
Yeah.
You know, so donate it. There's so many places that you can go to. I think Salvation Army is right around the corner from here. Mm-hmm. So I go there a lot, or even just Goodwill. Like there's so many places.
Yeah. And there's tons of like nonprofits too that you can, mm-hmm. you know, donate for different causes. So yeah, I think the key is just to like check in with yourself to see, you know, is this all happening as a result of like you feeling like you need these things, or is it just like, oh, it's sentimental, and then come up with like slight ways that you can start trimming things down.
Yeah.
And you'll slowly get better. Cause that's how I was. I like slowly got better to where I'm like, do I really need to save this? Like, is this really something worth, you know, finding a place? But
yeah. Another thing that could inspire you to is I feel like everyone talks about cutting their hair and the like process, how hard, difficult it was to cut your hair super short, but mm-hmm. then the incredible feeling you get after cutting your hair short.
Yeah.
I would kind of equate that similarly to getting rid of a bunch of stuff. Like when you go from having a ton of stuff in your life,
mm-hmm.
cutting it back and going minimal is one of the best feelings on the planet. So, I mean, what I would do if I were you is I would use that as inspiration to gut my room or get rid of half of my clothing. Because my closet, I actually want to film a video on this soon. My closet's a disaster.
Yeah.
I went from a very neat closet in my old room, moved to this room, and now I can't find a system that works for me.
Yeah.
It's a wreck. It's a disaster, actually.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of actually really gutting it and getting rid of half of it. And how nice it would be to be able to actually walk into my walk-in closet. Yeah.
No, there's something
I can't right now
to not be distracted by just like too much stuff. It's
yes.
like, it's really nice. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, you got this, girl. Honestly, like this new change that's coming in your life is going to be really exciting. And, you know, maybe box up certain things. And if it's not things you miss, then you can be like, okay, like this is going straight to donation or things like that.
That's something my mom used to do with me as a kid. She would give me a box, and anything that couldn't fit in the box was like up for being thrown out, you know, or I had to fill the box up with stuff to get rid of, something like that. Give yourself a little goal and meet it, and start with baby steps. But I think the feeling you'll get after getting rid of everything is going to be like incredible.
Oh yeah. It's so amazing. I love when everything's like minimal and organized in my room. Mm-hmm. It like totally affects me.
Mm-hmm. Pumped for you, Jenna. Let us, if you wanted to, you could give us a before and after.
Yeah, girl.
There is nothing more gratifying or pleasing than a good before and after photo. So send that over. That'd be great. And thank you so much for sharing. I know people needed to hear that. Yeah. I did. I'm looking around my room right now going, ooh.
I know. I was like, honestly, I could probably re-go through my room.
It's like,
I
it's go not my room. Like, I'm looking over my bed and I'm like, that's where I need to go. Anyways, I digress.
Hey guys, we just wanted to take a second to just say thank you for being a part of our little unsolicited advice family.
We love you guys so much, and it would mean so much to us if you would rate, review, subscribe, and share our podcast. Spread the word. Spread the love.
Yes.
Give advice to everyone. Advice for you. Advice for your mom. Advice change for your
world.
Friends.
Change the world.
Help us get the word out there. And that would mean so much to us. And back to the show.
Anywho, well, thanks for sharing. My story is titled SOS Trouble in Paradise.
Oh, shoot.
And this was a hard story for me to read.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of things that that she says that I was like, kind of like it was a red flag to me that I don't think she needs some reassurance and some encouragement on our end.
Okay.
I'm hoping that people in her life are bringing up these things too, but you know what? That's what we're for. If you want some two strangers,
that's the whole point of this podcast,
to let you know how to live your life.
Oh my God. I am like so interested now.
Yes. All right. I'd really appreciate this. Oh, if this was kept anonymous, your wish is our command. I want to start off with how much I love listening to you guys. I recently started following you guys and I'm obsessed with your podcast. This is my story. My boyfriend and I have been together for over a year now and everything has been going so good for us. I honestly haven't been this happy in forever. He makes me feel so loved and for a while I felt so good about myself. I have struggled with depression in the past due to my past relationship. My self-esteem was under the rocks. It got to the point where I felt like I wasn't good enough. My boyfriend has helped me so much in loving myself, so you can imagine how much love I have for this kid. Yeah. A few months ago, both him and I decided to move out of his grandma's place and get a place of our own. For the most part, we've been doing well, at least until recently. My boyfriend and I have a mutual friend on Facebook. Turns out he's been reacting to her pictures. This probably sounds like middle school drama, but me being nosy, I decided to snoop. At first, I asked him about it. Why are you hiding other girls' pictures? I'm not mad. I just honestly am curious. At first, he said that he didn't even realize he was doing it. He apologized and we dropped it. The second time, that same girl popped up on my timeline and I kind of got snoopy. You know how on Facebook they have a section where you can put up your featured photos? Well, my man decided to like every single one of them except the one of her and her man. Yes, she has a man. I brought it up once again. We have a mutual friend, let's call her Rose, and I've noticed you're reacting to her pictures. Who is she and why? My boyfriend comes up with the excuse that she's an old friend from middle school and that he hasn't spoken to her in a long time. He said that I shouldn't be worried about him doing anything wrong, and I believed him. About a week and a half ago, we went to replace his phone. Later that night, I asked him if I could play around with it. My boyfriend has a habit of archiving all of his messages, and the whole situation with Rose still wasn't sitting right with me. I've never been one to invade his privacy. I'm not like that whatsoever, but I just had a gut feeling that something wasn't right.
Can I clarify something really
quick? Yes.
Archiving his messages on his phone?
I'm assuming, like, you know how on iCloud you can have like your messages saved, or there's like options where it can like delete after a month or things like that.
Oh.
So I'm assuming it means like when he got his new phone, like all of his conversations like came back.
Got it.
Okay. So I had a gut feeling that something wasn't right. I looked up her name and it turns out that they have been talking and have been meeting up with each other.
Whoa.
Yeah. A month ago, my boyfriend had gone out to the races and didn't get home until after 1 a.m. He wasn't answering my calls. I contacted his brother and he had told me that he left home a long time ago. But the thing is, he wasn't here. Turns out he was with Rose that night. As I was going through their messages, I realized that she had picked him up the day after from our house while I was at work. We did argue about it. He told me that at one point he felt like he wasn't happy and that's why he started hitting her up. He said, this bothered me. He said that it wasn't my fault and I shouldn't blame myself because I did nothing wrong and that he doesn't feel that way anymore. Yet I still feel like I did everything wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Why would your first reaction be to reassure someone that, oh, this isn't your fault, don't feel bad? Like, what?
That's very manipulative.
Yes.
It's flipping the entire thing on her while saying, don't worry, you did nothing wrong.
Yes. I mean, usually we wait till the end, but that him bothered
me. It's making him sound loving and caring.
Yeah.
While turning the whole thing on her.
Yeah. No.
Whoa.
I'm not a fan of that. Okay.
Whoa.
I still feel like I did everything wrong. I've bent over backwards just to make sure he was good and he was happy. It's the fact that I got to the point where he felt like he wasn't happy anymore. So he felt like he had to seek comfort in someone else. And that's what hurts me so much. That night I ended up apologizing again. What?
Why?
I know. We got a lot to talk about. And a week later, I still feel like complete-ish because I honestly don't know if anything happened between them. I can't sit here and say I trust him because I don't, but I'm so in love with him. I can't bring myself to ask any more questions because I'm terrified of being hurt all over again. And I'm scared to lose the one person who has made me feel like myself again. Turns out Rose is 8 weeks pregnant. No, I don't think it's my boyfriend's child, but it doesn't help the fact that I feel like they might have done something. Help. I'm still young. I'm only 19, but I honestly felt like my boyfriend was my forever, and now I'm confused and I don't know what to do.
Wow, that's heavy. That's a lot.
I don't think that you guys understand how much we actually kind of like hold back when we give advice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we give our full, honest, genuine advice, but we both know that the situations people send in are really serious situations to them and things that they're going through.
You're being very vulnerable with us.
Yeah. So it's not something that we take lightly to the point where we'd be like, yeah, just quit your job. Yeah, do this. Because some people are actually seeking help and don't know who to talk to. And we don't know how much people are going to be like, oh, we'll take your advice into consideration. Or if they would be like, okay,
yeah,
you said to do this, so I did. So this one is hard for me because if this was like you, Ash, like you came to me and told me word for word your story in this way,
mm-hmm.
I would probably be very passionately like,
will vouch for that. She would sit me down. She'd probably be yelling.
I am that friend that will say what you don't want to hear because I love you. And because if that means your job, you're going to be mad at me and not talk to me, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But at least I said what should be said, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I just want to make this so freaking clear, Anonymous. You deserve like 10, 100, 1,000,000,000% more than what you have been given.
That exact number.
And the reason I'm passionate is not because I think that you did something wrong, but it's because I think that you are in a situation and you have been through a lot that has made you think that you deserve this and that you are in the wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'm passionate about this because it breaks my heart, because it doesn't matter. Even if you were the crappiest girlfriend in the world to him, it doesn't make it right for him to lie to you and do things mm-hmm. like that. It doesn't make it right. So yeah. His first thing to be like, don't worry, this is not your fault. That's not fair. Mm-mm. That's not fair.
No.
For the end of the conversation to result in you apologizing and feeling like crap, that is not fair whatsoever. So I just, that is why I am talking. I don't want you to be like, oh gosh, like what did I do? You know what I mean? Yeah. But I just feel like this is not a right situation and I think you deserve more than this. And obviously I don't know everything, but I'm not a fan of your man. That's for damn sure. But yeah, I don't know. What do you want to?
I think honestly, I think there's a lot of red flags that are legitimate red flags and are scary. I am 30 years old and full of 30 years of wisdom. And so I have watched friends go through this. I have watched my parents' friends go through this. I've watched family friends get divorced because of this.
Yeah.
And this thing that I'm talking about is how smooth and charming and manipulative it sounds like your boyfriend is.
Yeah.
I have met so many people who do this exact same thing. They are very likable. They're very smooth talking. They're very charming. They're lovable. Like people like love them, but they're so capable of getting out of mm-hmm. trouble and turning things on someone else while seeming so tender and caring and saying, oh baby, it's not your fault.
No,
it's not. You didn't do anything. He did.
Yeah.
He should be apologizing and explaining himself, not That's telling you that toxic. You're okay.
Yeah.
So if he is, I'm going to assume around your age, you know, 20, early 20s or 19, if this is what he's doing now,
yeah,
I don't see it getting any better in the near future. And I'm just saying that off of the friends and family members that I've known in my life who had people like this in their lives. I did something very similar with a few of these people where I was like, hey, I don't like him. You know this. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your life, but I don't see this ending well for either of you.
Well, there's so much to it. Like first of all, I think God gave women beautiful intuition.
Yes, 100%.
We have such a sensitive nature and I don't know if it's because like when we have children.
I was going to say a child.
Yeah, like we're supposed to sense when something's wrong so we can fix it. I don't know where it stems from, but we always know and we get that gut feeling and a lot of us have been trained or told to just turn it off and just deal with what we're given. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you had that gut feeling, you followed through with asking him, mm-hmm. like that's mature to just sit down and be like, hey,
yeah,
I've noticed you're liking these pictures. And you know, social media is weird. Like I like some of my guy friends' pictures who are like married and stuff. And I don't see it as like me betraying them. Now, if I was like liking everything they had and not liking anyone else's, like there's certain things. And obviously there was something about it that caused you to be aware of it.
Right. It's not the act of liking the photo. Yeah. There's so much more than that.
Yeah. So, but you gave him two chances to come forward and say something that he should have been honest with you about in the first place. But the fact that he was lying, it's because he knew he was doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. People don't lie and hide things that they're proud of.
No.
So he knew he was doing something wrong. He continued to do it. Not only did he continue to do it, but he made you feel like you were crazy.
Yeah. It made you feel responsible for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when he gets found out, he makes the situation to where now all of a sudden you're feeling bad and you're questioning what you've done right or wrong. Mm-hmm. And the whole like snooping on phone, we've talked about it before on this podcast. I'm very much like, if you don't want someone to snoop through your phone, then don't do anything that someone can find. Like, if I want to look through someone's phone because I have a weird feeling, like, yes, there comes trust and trusting a person. And I think it's weird if you're just like, every time he's in the shower, like checking through his phone, like,
well, that in itself is a red flag.
Yeah. Like having to search. But if you have a weird feeling and you look into it and then you find something, I don't think they have a right to hold that and be like, well, you obviously didn't trust me. I think that's a defense of like, crap, I'm in trouble. How can I make this seem like they're in the wrong too?
Yeah.
So I just think it sounds to me like he is not someone that you can trust, which she says in the end, like, I don't know if I can trust him. You are very young, and I know you've dealt with a lot of not feeling enough, being insecure, like you mentioned before. But babe, like, if you don't start standing up for yourself, none of that is going to be fixed. Him coming into your life and making you feel good, that's great. But you need to be the one that's fighting for yourself. You need to be the one that's making yourself feel like enough. And part of that might be standing up to this guy and being like, I'm done. Like, yeah, you cannot make me feel like this anyway. I deserve more. So I really think that you need to find some solid women in your life who you can sit and go over. These are the things in our relationship. These are how some example of conversations we have.
Yeah.
Talk about the fights you've had and how it resolves. Because if all of them are resolving and somehow you apologizing, that's not mm-hmm. good. But I think you need to not just pretend all of this is fine. And I think you need to like look a little deeper, because again, I just think you deserve way more than what this fool's given you.
Yeah. My mind just went to like three different things at once. But absolutely trust your gut.
Yeah.
That's enough proof to have a conversation. Not to accuse him of anything, but to have a conversation. I think that this girl getting pregnant is plenty of reason to have a conversation with him.
Yeah.
And confirm whether or not he's been with her in this time frame.
Yeah, because she does say that, huh? Like, she doesn't want to know.
She doesn't want to know. But also, I don't want to play the devil's advocate, but if it's true, you would want to know.
Yeah.
So, I think it would be completely understandable if you were to walk up to him and say, hey, I heard that this girl is pregnant, yeah, and I know you've been hanging out with her. Trust issues aside, yeah, like, be honest with me. Like, do you have anything to do, yeah, with that? You know, and that gives him a chance to tell you hopefully the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's different. Like, of, you know, like when you get with someone and you're like, I want to know everything you've done with anyone in your entire life.
Yeah.
As opposed to like sitting down and being like, hi, we're in a committed relationship and I need to know, like, what happened.
Yeah.
And you can't hide from that and just pretend everything's fine. I think that's something that you should find out.
Also, if you are planning on having any kind of future with your boyfriend, what you do now in situations like this is going to set the precedent for how the rest of your relationship, yeah, is going to be, whether the rest of your relationship lasts a year or a lifetime. This is where it starts. So you have to start, yeah, standing up for yourself and making those active changes now. And so does he, to give him the benefit, you know, of the doubt as well. Like, if you don't call him out on his now,
yeah, yeah,
he's going to assume that that's what his future with you looks like.
Yeah.
Is him not having to be accountable to anything.
Yeah.
So both of you need to have this conversation and hold each other accountable, mm-hmm, to be better versions of yourself in the future. If one of, yeah, you isn't capable of being that better person or holding those values or maintaining those goals, then I think that's a sign that maybe you don't want to spend the rest of your life with someone that you can't trust.
Yeah. No, I fully agree. Yeah. Thank you so much for sending it in. Honestly, that's such a crucial, important step. Like, the fact that you are reaching out. And like I said, hopefully you're reaching out to people in your life that know you and know the situation. But I think that's your first sign that you're kind of like, I need to figure this out. And I think that's a good step. Like that's you fighting for yourself and like making sure that you know that what you're going through and what you're feeling is important. Yeah. So, I'm really proud of you for writing in and I hope this like resonated with you and I hope you know like you got our full support and you we just think, you know, you deserve more. So that's why we're passionate.
Yeah. What Taryn said made me think of something. I don't know if she mentioned this, I can't remember, but I don't know if you've talked to your friends and family about this or not, but I would and just check in and see how they feel about him. We've talked about this on episodes before, but I think close family and friends also have great instincts about people that you're dating that we kind of don't see because we're so obsessed with someone. So maybe check in with your parents or any siblings or friends and just be like, hey, I've been getting a weird vibe. You don't have to go into detail.
Yeah.
With my boyfriend. Can I ask you, like, what are your thoughts on him?
Yeah.
Do you have any feelings towards him? Do you like him? Do you approve? Do you disapprove? Like, and can you tell me why?
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot that can be unpacked from their side of things.
I fully would agree. Do that
for sure. But thank you so much for sending this in. Wow.
Yeah.
There was a lot in there.
We just love you guys. And if you've listened this far, thank you.
You're the real MVP.
We love our UA fam. Comment the panda emoji on today's post.
Panda.
I got bras in Atlanta. I will end us
with a dad joke.
And
wrap it up, Taryn.
Yes. Want to know why nurses like red crayons?
Crayons.
Why do you always just repeat one of the words in a weird way and think that's the answer?
Go to our Instagram and comment crayons or crayons.
Crayons. I think I say crayons. Can I have the crayons? Ew, why does that word sound so weird now? Crayons.
Because blood.
Because sometimes they have to draw blood.
That was good.
Thank you.
At least I was on the right track.
I mean,
I said blood.
You did?
Yeah.
I think you just said crayons.
No, I said blood.
Oh, when you guessed. Got it. Anywho, we love you guys. We're going to end and go take a nap or something.
Take something.
And
have a great rest of your day. Good luck with 2020.
Good luck with 2020.
You guys keep us sane. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.